Hey everybody, welcome to After This Movie, and happy Halloween! My name is Patrick Bromley, I'm joined tonight, dressed for Halloween, as a sexy Dalek, by Mike!
Hey!
That's my sexy Dalek voice.
It's pretty good. Is that what Daleks sound like?
No, I can't do a Dalek, I'm sorry.
But, okay, do it again.
Hey!
Okay, but now that, sexy.
Well, that was my sexy Dalek.
Oh, alright.
No,
that explains my boner. It's Halloween, everybody. Happy Halloween, and that means that Scary Movie Month has come to a close on If This Movie. Oh. But it has been awesome. So many podcasts, so many reviews and lists and movie marathons, and of course the F This Movie, F Scary Movies Challenge, which we will get to in just a second. And we demolished our goal of 150 entries, well past 300. So thank you, everybody, for participating. Thank you. That is so awesome. As always, you can find our website at fthismovie.blogspot.com. You can become a fan of us on Facebook at facebook.com/fthismovie. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/fthismovie. You can find us in the iTunes store or through DVD Verdict Presents at dvdverdictpresents.com. And you can email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. If you have suggestions for non-scary movies, now that Scary Movie Month is concluding, we will go back to taking suggestions for other kinds of movies.
Are there other kinds of
movies? Well, there's, like, the holidays are coming up, so if you're like, oh, do a podcast on Jingle All the Way, I will think about it. I actually was thinking that might be a good commentary movie.
Jingle All the Way?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but the next time we do a commentary, it should be something that's on Netflix Instant. We have learned our lesson.
Good point.
But hopefully you've all listened to our commentary for Sleepaway Camp, and you've all seen Sleepaway Camp, and written an entry in the F This Movie, F Scary Movies Challenge. Let me read a few more entries to wrap up the Scary Movie Challenge 2. Brad says, Cabin Fever, Boy Meets Flesh-Eating Virus, Paranoia, Pancakes, which, if you haven't already listened to our podcast on Cabin Fever, you should do so. We did it a long time ago. It was like a year ago almost. But Doug and I did a whole show on Cabin Fever. Adam says, The Invisible Man Returns. More plot, less fun. Common sequel problems. Heath Holland, who, once again, I have to give so much credit to because possibly more than anyone else playing along in the Scary Movie Challenge, although there are a few that gave him a run for his money, I think Heath Holland has us all beat for the number of reviews he's posted, and they've all been well-written and clever and great. Another great one, Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. A new twist, Jason Occupies Wall Street, which, of course, gets lots of credit for being topical. Lackey says, of the woman, MWM seeks wild woman, must enjoy bondage, which is another great sort of classified ad style review. And also it's of a movie called The Woman, which everybody should see. I don't know if you've read, there's a review of it we have up at fthismovie.blogspot.com. It is the best horror movie I've seen in a long time. Everybody should see The Woman. Aaron M. Walker says, Night of the Living Dead. Barbara, zombie number one's coming to get you. Brian Alford says, Jeepers Creepers 2, his vagina nose will smell your fear. Kathy, who along with Heath Holland has written just a ton of entries and has been so great in playing along, says, of The Incredible Melting Man, never tell cops you're Dr. Ted Nelson, which if you've seen The Incredible Melting Man, it's just a fantastic joke. I happen to have just seen that movie on Netflix Instant during this Scary Movie Month, so I really appreciated that joke. Eric says, of Hostel Part 2, and of course Eric is on our show, and I tend to try to not read the reviews of the people on the show, but I really liked this one. Hostel Part 2, more decapitations than my European backpacking trip. Another Heath Holland review that I have to read. I read so many Heath Hollands, but they're so funny. A Nightmare Before Christmas, keeping Hot Topic afloat for 18 years. Brilliant. Luke says, The Human Centipede, wow, this movie can eat my shit. Which is, again, a very funny sort of self-aware Human Centipede joke, if you have seen that, but also don't see that movie. Kathy, again, another good one for Van Helsing. Place Universal Monsters in Blender. Frappe, ruin. Perfectly sums up that movie. Michael Piccoli says of They Live, I came to chew bubblegum and review. Oh, I should have read this one instead. I'll read another one because I like it. Dawn of the Dead, 1978. A sale at Penny's? Count me in. Very funny. Gutter Treasure says of Paranormal Activity 3, Grandma's an evil man-hating witch. Durr. It's all in the delivery. Chris says of Event Horizon, Hell is somewhere near Uranus. Who knew? T. Paul says The Birds, Tippi Hedren gets pecked. The movie ends. So once again, thank you to everyone for participating. It was such a big success this year, and we are so thrilled and honored and excited that everybody got involved, and it's so, so cool. So thank you. We're going to be doing some more fun listener participation stuff as we close in on our 100th episode, so stay tuned for that. This show should be like 85 or 86, wow. So we're creeping up there, so stay tuned. We have some fun stuff planned for the 100th episode. Spectacular. I think we'll call it the 100th episode spectacular.
That's a good title.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Have you seen anything scary lately?
Sure. I was at the music box. You didn't, JB didn't talk about that at all, did you?
At the music box?
Mm-hmm. No. The Masquer? No.
No. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. Here's, yes, I have.
Yes. Here's, you were at the Music Box Massacre.
I was, but you guys obviously talked about it.
We did, but you could talk about it.
No, you've already covered it. And you've covered most of what... I want to hear
your thoughts on...
I have been...
The Wizard of Gore.
I have been very good. I followed the F This Movie guidelines. I've only stuck, for the most part, to horror movies. But unfortunately...
In the month of October.
Yes, in the month of October. You guys unfortunately have talked about quite a few of them. I was all set to bring up Return to Sleepaway Camp. And then last podcast, you're like, man, Doug, didn't you want to just watch it?
I'm sorry.
And then I'll talk about Shaun of the Dead. And then you and JB are like, let's do a zombie podcast. And I was like, damn it.
Did we talk about Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah.
I think we did. Yeah, you're right.
So that leaves me with Wrong Turn.
All right.
So, oh my God, what can I say about Wrong Turn?
Your first viewing of Wrong Turn.
It is my first viewing of Wrong Turn. I watched it.
Rob Schmidt, is that?
Yes.
Rob Schmidt?
And written by... Can't remember the gentleman's name. Okay. However, he wrote the screenplay for Halloween 4, so it all comes together.
Look at that.
I watched Wrong Turn 2 days ago.
Okay.
I don't know that I remember any of it.
Yeah. I've seen it. I don't remember it either.
Yeah, it's not... I'm not the biggest fan of the Crazy People in the Woods.
Yeah, yeah.
Story. You know, I guess it did things I hadn't seen in those movies at times. Like, there's a whole sort of chasing and trees... I was like, okay, I haven't seen that.
I vaguely remember that. I saw that movie in the theater. I don't remember it too well.
Yeah, and that's, so I mean...
The cast, I remember, is like pretty much all recognizable people though, right?
Yeah, Eliza Dushku.
Yeah.
And
Jeremy Sisto.
Yep, Jeremy Sisto and the guy from, I know him from Dexter. Can't think of his name.
Dexter guy.
Michael
C. Hall.
Yeah, it was Michael C. Hall.
I believe it's Michael C. Right. Hall. And isn't, what's her name from Entourage in that movie, too?
I'm unfamiliar with Entourage.
Okay, good for you, by the way. Good for you. Is it Emmanuel...
Lewis?
Shrieky. Yes. Emmanuel Lewis plays one of the killbillies. Emmanuel Shrieky, is she the one in that, or is it Shiri Appleby? Because I confuse those two. I know she gets beheaded up against a tree. And her body falls, right? Do I have this?
You just watched it. I know. I don't remember it.
They took a wrong turn.
All. They did.
There's like four of those movies now.
Oh, I know. I just noticed that today.
I've seen Wrong Turn 2.
Is it any better?
It's better in a sense. It was directed by Joe Lynch, who's sort of an up-and-comer in the horror world. And it has much more of like a sense of humor. The gore is super over the top.
Okay.
The first 10 minutes, they brutally murder this girl who was like a contestant on American Idol playing herself. So I guess like, haha, it has a sense of humor about itself. It's fine. I think people champion that movie maybe a little more than they should.
It was loaned to me by two people I work with, and I pray to God they're not listening.
I pray they are. We need all the listeners we can get.
True. Then I apologize,
just
guys.
Just because it's on their list of favorite movies of all time.
It is. I really appreciate you letting me borrowing it. I know you guys love it, but it was not. I don't even want to say I was disappointed because I didn't go into it with much expectation. I didn't expect it to be great, but it just sort of bored me to tears.
Yeah, super generic. And unfortunately, that's sort of the representation of like where most... studio horror is. I don't know if I would say now, but certainly like 5 years ago when that movie came out, it was
right.
They were definitely following certain trends, you know, and trying to recreate certain things. I think that one maybe was in the wake of like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
Right. And we'll, I'm sure, talk about this when we get into the Halloween sequels, but you know, it's just riddled with characters that you know nothing about.
Right.
They don't spend any right. time on them whatsoever. So you don't, you know, you don't care. So then it becomes, okay, then am I in it for the kills? Or, the, you know, is that supposed to be the
right.
fun part, if you will? And they're not. They're
that one girl gets beheaded up against a tree. The girl from on, you watch Entourage. The girl that was on Entourage.
Emmanuel Lewis got beheaded. So, yeah, so I...
So that's literally it? Wrong Turn?
Well, no, again, like Curse of Frankenstein. I watched that.
All right.
He talked about it. No, you know what?
Stop watching stuff that everybody else is watching.
I know, me too. You guys stop watching it. All right, it wouldn't be, I guess, enough this movie podcast, and I didn't even think to bring this up, but I'm going to. If I didn't talk about
Doctor Who,
but it's scary.
I already made the Doctor Who reference.
I know. But, all right, here's a suggestion for people. If you have Netflix Instant, if you don't watch Doctor Who, it's fine. If you want Wikipedia, Doctor Who, get it, you know, so you can find out, like, what Doctor Who actually is. Or who he is. He's a time traveler, people. Travels through space and time. But there's an episode in season 3.
Also a doctor.
Yeah. There's an episode in season 3 called Blink. It's the 10th or 11th episode. It's written by Stephen Moffat, who's the showrunner right now. It's the episode stars Carey Mulligan. It's a standalone episode. You don't need to know what came before or what comes after. The doctor is actually almost like a supporting character.
It's mostly about Carey Mulligan?
In the episode, yes. And it is... It's wonderful. It's okay. Really well written. One of the criticisms that people have, and even I have, of Doctor Who, especially those earlier years or earlier reboot years, is the special effects are pretty terrible. Patrick, you've seen some early ones.
I have, yeah.
And I think you could agree the special effects aren't very good.
No, I saw there was a mouth and eyes on skin that was stretched out.
That was the last human being
right.
left in the place. Anyway. Right.
She dried out, then.
Spoilers. but they...
Does this turn into something about horror movies at some point?
Yeah, it's okay. It's scary. My point is...
It's scary how much you talk about Doctor Who.
It's a scary episode of Doctor Who.
Okay. Now we're just doing scary episodes of TV. Because well, there was an episode of Webster that freaked me out as a kid, if we're talking about Emmanuel Lewis. I'm serious. There was like the back of a girl's head in a rocking chair. Terrified me. And then my mom was like, maybe you shouldn't go see Ghostbusters. And guess what? We didn't.
It's a scary
thank
episode
you
of Doctor
for bringing
Who.
That up.
You don't have to worry about the special effects because they ingeniously sort of get around it.
Okay.
Like
Our Town?
Season 3, Doctor Who, it's scary. Carey Mulligan's in it. That's movie related.
Okay,
so,
yeah, barely. But she is in Drive, which is your favorite movie of the year.
Drive! I just can't wait till November so I can talk about Drive.
Yeah, right, really. Sorry. No, we're limiting you right now.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Talk about the massacre real quick, though, because you were there for half of it, at least.
Yes.
Besides Halloween, did you have a favorite? Did Neytiri just fall down?
Neytiri did fall down.
This is not cool, everyone. The little avatar figure that Mike brought me before this podcast and made my night just fell down. She's wounded. I have to take her to Home Tree.
Don't worry, she didn't hit any Star Trek figures on the way down.
Whatever. You're talking about Doctor Who?
My favorite movie, besides Halloween.
Yes, at the Massacre. If you haven't listened to the Massacre podcast already, please do.
I came in... maybe halfway through Burn Witch Burn, so I'm not going to count that, but just half of that movie, I really enjoyed and am very excited to catch the entire thing. A movie I saw entirely, I guess, Dr. Fibes. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it played really well. People were really into it. Laughed throughout. As you guys said, it's probably a little too long.
But
I didn't feel the crowd get restless, so.
No, that was a blast. How about a least favorite?
I mean, Wizard of Gore is the worst that we saw, but it was a lot of fun because people really were into how terrible it was.
Yeah.
And Herschel Gordon Lewis had a great sense of humor about it, and I think was very aware of what he made. So I didn't even feel bad about it.
Can you imagine, though, watching that movie, like, at home by yourself?
No.
Actually, I can. I'll tell you why. Because I watched the Gore Gore Girls.
Oh, you did watch it.
Which is available on Netflix. Instant. Yes. Yeah, because, again, Wizard of Gore was sort of my first exposure to a Herschel Gordon Lewis movie.
Same here.
And I was like, wow. I mean, in theory, I get the appeal. I understand why people like it.
Yes.
So it's not like, I don't understand why anybody would like this. I get it. But watching it, I was like, I don't totally get why people like this. So I decided to watch another of his movies. And admittedly, I believe it's considered a lesser movie.
Okay.
I didn't see Blood Feast or 2000 Maniacs. You know, those are the two that he's sort of most known for. It's possibly worse than The Wizard of Gore.
Okay.
But it's fascinating in that it follows the exact same structure. I mean, it's like we get a sequence of a go-go girl dancing and then some bad dialogue and then she's murdered. And then there's like a newsman or a cop or a reporter who's trying to figure it out. And then we get another sequence of that. It's the exact same structure as Wizard of Gore. So not tedious at all. No. Everyone watch it.
It's like watching I know you're not the biggest fan of Mystery Science Theater, but
correct.
I always thought if I had to watch those movies without the little silhouettes in the corner making jokes, I don't think I'd get through one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're horrible, and it would be the same for Wizard of Gore. It's rough to watch, but
yeah.
It was a lot of fun in that, you know, in that atmosphere.
Yeah.
People just, you know, seem to have a lot of fun with it. They enjoyed it.
I saw a movie
yes.
that puts all other bad movies to shame that I want to discuss on the podcast, because I haven't yet, and Scary Movie Month, of course, as we know, is winding down. It is I believe it came out in 2010, Wes Craven movie, My Soul to Take.
Okay.
Have you seen My Soul to Take?
No, I was movie shopping earlier, and I saw it today at Best Buy and thought, oh, I need to see My Soul to Take. But I didn't purchase it, and I didn't. I have not seen it.
You do need to see My Soul to Take, but okay. Do not buy My Soul to Take.
Okay.
Here's the thing. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this on the podcast. But there aren't words, so I can't do it justice. It's the kind of thing where it's like I can only say everyone see My Soul to Take, but also no one see My Soul to Take because it's horrible. But it's so fascinating. I just recently rewatched the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
And that's a movie that's probably going to come up again later while we're talking about Halloween. I really, really like the original Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, I really like it. And to think that this is the same guy. I mean, you talked about this a little bit when you reviewed The Ward for the site that there's no real signs of the John Carpenter that we know and love in The Ward. And that's true. And if you haven't seen The Ward, it is also available on Netflix Instant. And that is a very bad movie. But, like, My Soul to Take eclipses that movie in such a way, I don't even know what to tell you. I would almost suggest, instead of watching the movie, just read the screenplay,
okay.
if you can. Because you'll read lines of dialogue that you can't imagine anyone saying ever in a movie, and it's written by Wes Craven, and it breaks my heart, because this is, I think, the first movie he's written since probably Nightmare on Elm Street, right? Or maybe New Nightmare. He wrote New Nightmare.
He did write
New
Nightmare, yeah.
It hasn't been as long, but you can't imagine that English is his first language. How's that? Like, this definitely seems like somebody from another country or Mars trying to approximate the way that human beings speak.
Do you get the impression, you know, sometimes you can watch a movie that is terrible and yes. so off the rails that you say, okay, something happened along the way. Like, there was interference somewhere, or things were rushed, or there's a writer's strike.
I think some of that happens in, like, some Wes Craven movies. Like, I don't even know a good example, but, like, Shocker.
Okay.
That's a terrible movie. And
I own the soundtrack, people, when I was young.
A very cynical attempt to sort of redo Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
And some of the ways that movie is bad, I think, speak to what you're talking about. But maybe, I don't even...
I'm just trying to make excuses.
But also, no. Like,
okay.
Maybe in terms of some of the editing or the casting, because there are no recognizable actors in the movie.
Okay.
But the screenplay is really the thing that I can't stress enough. It has some of the most fascinating dialogue. A character at one point is bleeding and dying. He's just been stabbed and is about to die. And he and another character, like, he basically tells the other, like, I went into the closet and you weren't there. So then I fought him off, but then he went downstairs. Like, as he's dying, these are his last words. The line that jumps...
Is he describing what we just saw?
No, I don't think we saw it.
Okay.
I can't wrap my head around this movie. I need to see it 6 more times. Maybe it's a movie that will be discovered in future years as like, oh my gosh, this is one of the worst horror movies ever made. And people will embrace it, ironically. I don't know. But it is bad in a way that I can't wrap my head around.
But bad in a way that... we might enjoy on a level. That
I think as long as you stick with it, because it's boring and it's the acting is terrible and there's no real plot to speak of. Honestly, in the first 10 minutes, I had no idea what was going on. I almost want to show you just those first 10 minutes and say, can you tell me what's happening in this scene? It's a crazy, crazy movie, and it only gets crazier as it goes along. So watch it or don't, I guess. And I think you're in good shape either way.
Okay. I'm sure I'll watch it, actually.
Yeah.
Whenever you tell me, I think Doug mentioned this on the last podcast, you have a way of, like, telling us not to do something,
and then people do. Yeah.
Like, don't read Roger Ebert's review of Super.
And then I run out and read it.
Why did I tell you?
Let's talk about Halloween. It's Halloween. Mm-hmm. You had the bright idea. We were originally going to do a show on sequels, just some of our favorite horror movie sequels. And then Mike saw, well, wait. Since last year, we did a whole podcast on the Saw franchise. He thought, let's make that a thing, like that every Scary Movie Month, we tackle a different franchise.
And for the record, Patrick's never listened to me. So
I called your bluff, and I said, sure, let's do it. Here's the thing, though. As much as we're like, this was a mistake, like, there is no franchise that we would not have this reaction to. I don't think.
Yeah,
I think at a certain point, every single one of them would wear us down.
We both tackled this franchise, and we did not give ourselves a lot of time. So, yes, you're probably right. But a couple years ago, I watched the Friday the 13th. I got the Friday the 13th box set, which is movies 1 through 8, right? I think it's before Jason Goes to Hell. And I had a fucking blast watching. I mean, they're horrible movies, but I really had a lot of fun going through that franchise.
Hi everybody, Patrick from If This Movie here. I don't know if it was the grind of Scary Movie Month or my body's newfound reliance on regular insulin injections, but a piece of this episode actually went missing. I have no idea what happened to it, but there's a few minutes here where Mike and I talked about the original Halloween movie that is gone. Most of what we say is that there's not much to say about the movie because it's been discussed on the show several times. Last year's Best Horror Movies podcast with JB, or this year's Music Box Massacre podcast. So if you want to hear our thoughts on Halloween, there are places to find it. I don't know what happened. I apologize. In our almost 90 shows on If This Movie, this has never happened. So hopefully you will all be forgiving of this error. It's unfortunate that Scary Movie Month has to go out with a colossal fuck-up. But I apologize. The show will now pick up where we start talking about Halloween 2. So I return you to F This Movie, already in progress. Let's talk more, I guess, about the sequels to Halloween, because again, we could talk about Halloween, but we probably won't have much new to say.
Right.
Halloween 2, which is written by Carpenter and Deborah Hill.
Deborah Hill.
But not directed.
Correct.
Directed by Rick Rosenthal. Mm-hmm. Carpenter actually went back and reshot some stuff, some additional violence.
Yeah, allegedly, although I think he denies it.
Okay.
I believe he says he helped it in post.
Okay.
But I could be wrong with that. But he thought that that first cut, there was no tension.
Right. Okay.
Whatsoever.
Halloween 2 is a movie that kind of gets a pass from horror fans as like, that's a decent sequel.
And I will say it did from me until this.
It kind of did. So what happened? Because I'm kind of in the same boat. I did not like Halloween 2 this time.
And I'm so, like, another example of how this podcast just ruins things for me. I really, like, going into this exercise, if you will, I thought, well, Halloween 2 is going to be my favorite of the sequels. Because
Is it four?
It might be.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe.
What else would it be?
Please. Wait till we get to Resurrection. I admittedly...
Michael Myers ain't no footnote. He ain't no style bite.
You totally took... I couldn't wait to talk about that. yeah, so, I mean, I haven't seen it in a really long time, I guess. And then just watching it this time, I was like, oh, there's so many things that didn't work for me that I don't remember not working for me.
Yeah.
The last time, I thought Jamie Lee Curtis is completely wasted. She's a prop in this movie.
Yeah.
Like I thought Donald Pleasance is at his most over the top.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to go with this.
The biggest problem with the movie is that it's really the beginning of the end for Halloween, and it's only the second movie, but, like, the decision to have Michael Myers be
the brother,
Laurie's brother,
right,
cripples the entire rest of the series.
It does.
It takes away all those things that you love about the first movie, which is, like, that there is no explanation, he's just evil, he's just showing up, he just wants to kill, he's the boogeyman, you know, mm-hmm. He doesn't have a motivation necessarily. Well, now he does. Now he's there for a specific reason. Now he has a background and all this bullshit. And it unfortunately sets in motion all of these things that destroy future sequels as well, because they keep building on this mythology that's established in the second movie. The hospital setting is interesting enough.
I like it as a setting, and I realize that as a movie fan, or especially a horror fan, I need suspension of disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to not question the little things. But holy fuck, this time around, I could not get past. This is a hospital with no patients.
Right.
There's, like, no police presence.
Right.
The police are another thing in this movie we could talk about later.
It's a hospital that isn't interested in paying its electric bill because it's kept dark all of the time.
Right.
And again, I understand that, like, that's, I think, some of what people like, sort of that atmosphere that it's dark and ominous, but, I don't know, again, part of what's great about Halloween is that, like, A, it feels like it takes place on Halloween, but it's, like, in the recognizable suburbs, and it feels like fall in this time of year. That's the kind of movie you want to watch, and Halloween 2 takes all that away for this dark, sterile hospital environment that isn't interesting.
Right.
The violence is way over the top, which, as we sort of alluded to, may have been a decision made after the fact.
Right. And yeah, that's attributed to John Carpenter.
Right.
That apparently he wanted it bloodier, more violent.
And it's way over the top. And again, that sets a precedent, I think, mm-hmm. in the sequels ahead. Yeah, I mean, it looks decent.
It does. Like, Rosenthal, I think, wanted it to look like Halloween.
Right.
The first one, because it's like a piece, these two movies.
Right.
But at the same time, at times, it felt like someone trying to do Carpenter.
Absolutely. But I think it does a better job of it than some other of the sequels that maybe aren't interested in looking as slick.
Right.
But that's maybe the best I can say about it. I always thought it was a much better movie than I think it actually is.
Me too. That was the biggest bummer of this whole thing.
Halloween 2. Your illusions were shattered about Halloween 2.
They were.
So then we get into Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, directed by Tommy Lee Wallace.
He was supposed to direct Halloween 2, or at least Carpenter wanted him to.
And didn't he? He was Michael Myers in the first movie, right?
I don't know he if was, he played Michael Myers. I
thought he was the Shape.
Oh, maybe he was the Shape. I know.
That was Nick Castle.
Yeah, he worked on.
Yeah.
He worked on Halloween.
Sorry,
might have worked on The Mask.
It was Nick Castle.
Okay.
So sorry, everybody. So sorry. Whose heads just exploded. Like, no, you don't know Halloween. You don't have a giant Michael Myers tattoo like I do. You're right. I don't. I have a giant Mike Myers tattoo from the Love Guru.
Oh, you took it right out of my mouth.
Well, listen, everybody has Austin Powers. I want to be different. So Halloween 3 sort of tries to start a new direction for the series.
Right.
Which is...
I think, like, on paper, I don't mind the idea. I mean, I think... John Carpenter wanted to do, he said he wanted to do something more like Twilight Zone.
Right.
Where, you know, every year they'd release a Halloween movie and it would tell a different story. Like, Michael Myers' story was told
over
the first two movies. Let's try something new. But unfortunately, Halloween 3 needed to really stick for that to work.
Right. And instead, it's just this weird. And I think, I do think that's sort of the direction that the movies should have gone. Mm-hmm. Now, there's no reason to make it a Halloween series then. You know, you could call them anything and just release a new horror movie every year, you know? Right. Like, why does it have to have the Halloween brand? But whatever.
People love brands,
though. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Halloween 3, instead, is this weird one-off curiosity. And I have to say, by no stretch of the imagination is Halloween 3 a good movie. No. But if you are a fan of 80s horror, it is, I think, a very enjoyable movie.
It is.
Because it's crazy. That movie makes no sense whatsoever. But just having Tom Atkins as the lead, and seeing, like, Dan O'Hurley as the villain, and this...
Who I liked, by the way.
Sure.
Like...
But again, what? It's this weird, like, Celtic curse. What is he... I have no idea what he's doing. Selling Halloween masks to murder children on Halloween night. By the way, the three worst rubber Halloween masks somehow sweeping the nation. Kids all want this shitty rubber pumpkin mask. Put it on, kids. I'm going to make snakes and bugs climb out of your eyes and mouth. What? What the fuck is going on in this movie? And people are robots.
And every sex scene Tom Atkins has is like watching Roger Moore.
Yeah.
In the Bond movies.
Yeah, like, there's a 30-year difference. But that, come on, that is a pimp scene where she's like, where do you want to sleep? And he's like, what do you think the answer to that is?
It's amazing.
In your vagina. Robot vagina. Spoilers. In your robot vagina. I'm going to knock your head off with a shovel, but I'm going to fuck you first. Yes, that scene cracks me up every time.
Yeah.
Because he's a pimp.
He is a pimp. A horrible father, by the way. But
Yeah. And the ending is sort of ripped off from Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Which Tommy Lee Wallace says is very intentional.
Yeah.
Because it's shot in the same town.
Oh, yeah?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, yeah. Santa Mira?
Sure.
Like, that's where I think Invasion is set as well. So it's one big tribute.
And but again, I think that ending is effective. It doesn't make any sense. And I have to say, I love the score. John Carpenter composed a great, great synthesizer score that I love. It's not a good movie, but in terms of 80s horror movies, I kind of like where it fits in.
And this isn't my thought, but probably would have been maybe thought of more highly had it just been released as Season of the Witch and not Halloween 3.
Right. Definitely.
It was fun. Yeah. I had more fun with that than a lot of the other sequels.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's almost all downhill now. 3 stands out as one I like, and now we get to 4, which I have long championed, is actually, even before I realized that 2 was not good, I have championed that 4 is the best of the Halloween sequels. Better than 2, better than H2O, everyone. I'm a big fan of Halloween 4. The Return of Michael Myers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he comes back.
Because Dwight H. Little is my boy. and here's why I like 4.
It
reestablishes, like, that fall Halloween setting of the first movie.
Sure.
Very well, I think, even though it was not shot around then, and they're sort of faking it. But it feels like fall. It feels like the season again. And, more than anything, it has... two, I think, sympathetic lead characters in Danielle Harris as Jamie and her sort of older, foster sister?
Stepsister.
Maybe. Rachel. Mm-hmm. I like the two of them. I think Rachel feels like a real teenager in the way that some of the kids in the first movie did.
It's my favorite cast, I think, outside of Halloween 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not to step on what you're saying, but yeah, I completely agree.
And people aren't idiots. I mean, like, except for the rednecks driving the pickup truck. Like, that movie, it goes a little far at that point. But, like, they try and get away. They try and call the cops. Like, they do things that sort of make sense.
Right.
It's not super over the top with the violence, although once you get past that first scene where he's, like, digs his thumb into the paramedic's forehead, it's just like, we have to be gory because it's the 80s. But I think it shows some restraint in terms of the violence. I think it's well directed. I think the ending is batshit and stupid.
I had not seen Halloween 4 in such a long time that I didn't remember the ending, to be honest, and I didn't see it coming, so I'll at least give it that.
Well, how could you?
Well, I mean,
spoilers for Halloween 4 coming up. Danielle Harris as Jamie has been stalked by Michael Myers for the whole movie again because it's his niece now. It's just like, again, we have this stupid mythology.
He's always chasing family.
Right. For no reason then because, I don't know, he killed his family in the first, he killed his sister in the first scene. And then all of a sudden, like, so they defeat Michael Myers, she gets away, and then the legend of the movie is her dressed up in the clown outfit having stabbed someone.
Yeah.
And Loomis going, no, no.
What cracked me up, right before that, Michael Myers gets shot and, like, falls into, like, some type of pit.
Yeah.
Something's on top of him.
The Michael Myers pit.
Right. And Loomis is like, oh, good, that's over.
Yeah. I'm like, have you learned nothing, old man? Right. That was burned face.
Yeah. I like Halloween 4, but for whatever reason, I never got the impression they had any real interest in trying to scare us. I never felt much tension.
Okay. I guess.
It might be my favorite cast. I really love Danielle Harris. Yeah. It might be my favorite cast outside
of... nothing else that gave us Danielle Harris in the world of horror.
Which, right.
Is a great thing.
Yeah, it is a great thing. Even the lynch mob idea, the execution was horrible.
But yeah.
I don't, maybe on paper it wasn't such a bad thing.
It kind of makes sense, when you think about it.
And again, at least it's trying something new, because it very easily could have been a repeat of Halloween 1.
Right.
In a lot of ways it was, but...
Right, yeah, definitely. I like the stuff with, like, Rachel and her boyfriend. He's kind of cheating on her, and it's given some weight in terms of, like, I'm a teenager and I'm having to deal with this, but I don't think they oversell it where it's like, hey, prioritize, girl. Like,
right, exactly.
It's not one of those things where it's like, right. This guy's trying to kill me and you're cheating on me? Focus.
Right.
I like the rooftop sort of chase.
Yeah.
I think it does a lot of things right. I agree with you that it's not particularly scary.
No.
But none of them really are after one, I would say.
I agree. I think it's like Michael Myers' one sort of actual fist fight.
Yeah.
As well. He actually...
Is this... Do you think this is the movie where he learns to drive? No, because he drives... He drives in...
Yeah, he drives in the first movie. One, yeah.
So he has learned to drive already.
Right.
Which is weird. They taught him how to drive, like, in the institution?
Well, they made mention of that in the first one.
Did they?
Because when Loomis is talking to one of the doctors at the institution, he said, like... Well, how did he learn to drive? And Loomis says something like, I don't know, but he seemed to be pretty good at it or know what he was doing.
Oh, that is some quality screenwriting.
But I mean, they sort of address it.
Yeah, right. I don't know, but he's, look at him, he's doing it.
Oh. It worked for me. That line got a laugh when we saw it. Back to Master, yes.
Oh, writing. So I'm a big fan of Halloween 4. After the first movie, it's my favorite of the sequels. I actually really like it. Not even just like, I think it's the best of the Halloween sequels. Like, I actually like it on its own.
Okay.
Then we get into Halloween 5, directed by a French dude whose name I can't say, who is hilarious, by the way. If you watch, there's a documentary. Did you watch that?
I did watch
20 Years of Terror, where he's talking about, like, it's the cat and the mouse. And, like, what? Do you think you're the first person to come up with this idea of cat and mouse? You lunatic. 5, for a number of reasons... needs to go fuck itself.
Absolutely.
One, that it makes Jamie a mute for the first half. Mm-hmm. 2, that it shoots a lot of the movie in this weird fisheye style. 3, that it, spoiler alert, kills off Rachel early on.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, of course, that it introduces the Men in Black druid plot at the end of the movie. But I want to talk about Rachel getting killed, because it's something that a lot of horror movies do, and the Halloween movies do again coming up. I hate this idea that just because you survive a horror movie, the actress Ellie Cornish, I think I have that wrong. I'm confusing it with like Abby Cornish. Ellie something.
Okay.
On one of the interviews on the DVD says, like, I knew it wasn't going to go well for me because I had survived the part 4, so I knew I wasn't going to make it in part 5. And it's like, why? What is this logic that just because you survive... And they all do it, whether it's Alice in Friday the 13th Part 2, or Nancy in Elm Street 3, or...
The only thing I could think of is because they want to, they want you to think that he truly, whoever this is, be it the, Michael Myers or Freddy, like, he will get you. Eventually, if it doesn't get you in the first movie, it'll get you in the second
movie. That's not scary to me.
No, I hear you, but it probably is to some.
It's like we talked about with the Saw movies. It's like, right, it's exactly. Scary when you don't know if this person's going to make it or not.
Exactly.
Always knowing how it's going to end makes it not scary. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And I just feel like it bums me out. I wish screenwriters or directors had more affection, respect for their characters to say, like, no, this person's been through hell. She should get away.
Right.
They do it. Rob Zombie does it.
I was just going to bring it up. Does it to Daniel Harris.
Yeah. It's such horseshit. Again, I don't think it makes it scarier. And while it doesn't necessarily, we've talked about this before, the Bourne Identity is always the example I use, mm-hmm. that like knowing what happens to a character sometimes can ruin my enjoyment of a previous installment. I don't watch part four like knowing what's in store for Rachel. It doesn't ruin part four for me. But when I watch part five, it always pisses me off.
Right.
Always.
Right. I agree. The other thing I took out of part five is that Michael, this is a movie, this is like Michael Myers' American Graffiti. He's constantly in a car.
Yeah.
In part five. Like he spends half the movie driving.
Yeah.
Which just, I mean, it is.
What
it is.
Yeah, I forgot. Part five also has the single most annoying character maybe in any of the Halloween movies.
Tina?
Is that her name? The friend?
Yes.
You take Rachel out of the movie, a character that's great and who I love, and you replace her with this awful, awful. Yeah.
And it's the weirdest shift, too.
Yeah.
Like that suddenly we're following her, and right. I don't understand why we are.
Right, that she's become like the surrogate big sister to Jamie, who doesn't seem to have a problem with, I guess you're my annoying, shitty sister now.
Although if she did, she couldn't say anything.
Good point. Good point. And yes, Michael does try to run her over at one point, driving a car.
He's constantly driving it.
Yeah.
It cracks me up.
Yeah. It's bad. I mean, I think is sort of the first sequel in the Halloween series that's all bad, I think.
Yeah.
I think you can find things to like about 2. We definitely found things to like about 3, and I like 4. You get to 5, and that's, I think it's all bad in 5.
I hate the Man in Black stuff.
Yes.
I completely agree. If I could take the slightest thing that I like and what they did with it was just stupid in the end, but I at least like that they didn't. This is just me, but that they locked him up.
Okay.
At the end.
Right.
I thought, all right, really, at least, like, that just made sense to me, because they keep trying to kill him, and it doesn't work.
Right.
So why not try
something? He got out of the Michael Pitt.
Right. So.
Oh, and we should also acknowledge that ending of part four, with Jamie as the new sort of heir to the Michael Myers throne, is just completely thrown away. What? It's like a dream, or like, I don't even know.
She didn't. Actually, I believe they addressed, like, I think it was her stepmother that she attacked.
Yeah.
And I think she didn't kill her stepmother.
Oh, right. But so, that's why she's catatonic now?
Right. And that, like, you know, she touched Michael's hand at the end of 4. And, I don't know. And so, like, she has this link.
Right. This, like, right. Oh, right. Because she can see what he sees. And Donald Pleasance is, like, yelling at her. He's going to kill her again. And you can stop him.
Right. Exactly. But it's funny, because there's like one line of dialogue that her sister has early in the movie, like, mom and dad say hi. So, I mean, that's clearly their way of saying, like, listen, mom's not mad at you.
Yeah, she forgave you.
Yeah, you're not a...
Even though you're not really her kid, it's fine. She's forgiven you.
Right. That's, you know, the screenwriter letting us know that, we like her. Yeah.
Right. It does, of course, set up a precedent of ignoring the end of the movie that came before it.
Oh,
at least trying to rewrite it, because that comes up again in a few movies. So now, the Halloween series takes a drastic and horrible shift, because it's picked up by Dimension. Mm-hmm. The Weinstein brothers take over for Halloween, not called Halloween 6, it's just Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers. And now, we're really getting into this shit. And the reason I had alluded to this at the beginning, the reason I think that it's so hard to watch, like, would you argue that Halloween Curse of Michael Myers is a worse movie than Jason Takes Manhattan?
No.
Okay.
To be fair, it's been a couple years since I've seen Jason Takes Manhattan, but I feel like...
Spoiler, he barely takes Manhattan. He mostly takes a cruise ship.
Right, right.
And he punches off a black kid's head. The kid wanted to play basketball. That's what black people do,
apparently, right? Exactly.
In the eyes of the Friday the 13th series,
I don't know. I mean,
or they're in motorcycle gangs.
There's one stupid decision after another, I think, in Chris and Michael Myers, but...
It's a horrible movie. Well,
it is horrible. I mean, I don't know.
I was thinking about it, because as I rewatched it, I'm like, this is a horrible movie, right? But is it any worse than, like, Nightmare on Elm Street 5 or Friday 13 Part 8? And I don't know for sure that it is, although I think your point is well made earlier that, like, there's no sense of fun, and there is in those other movies. I think the problem is... Friday the 13th was always shitty. What you got in 1 was what you got in 5 was what you got in 8.
Yep.
Like, and the problem with Halloween is that it's such a fall from greatness that you're so... It's so depressing to see what the series has turned into.
It's true.
That you're thinking back to part 1 so fondly and you're like, wow, this druid shit is what I'm watching now in part 6.
And that was written, by the way, by a super fan?
That makes sense.
Right? Like, it was like some huge yeah. Halloween fan.
But see, this makes sense, because think about, like, all the fan fiction that exists where it's all about, like, creating a mythology and linking all these things together, because that's what you do. You spend time in this world and you just invent, rather than say, like, what do I like about Halloween? Let me try and do that. You've spent time developing a crazy backstory for Michael Myers, and so that's what you write.
I guess. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I one of the reasons I think I'm such a fan, or at least a fan of the original, is there is no fucking backstory. Of like, course. I love that movie, and I don't want to know. I don't want there to be druids mentioned at all.
Ever. In any movie. Even if the movie's called The Druids. Maybe get around saying it. There's a whole thing. I went to grad school. Okay. When I was in grad school, I just wanted to start a sentence that way. I wrote a whole paper about, horror movies and the difference between the movies in the 70s. I was talking specifically about, like, the remakes of Hills Have Eyes and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and something else. I don't remember. And how there's this need now, even though we're supposedly inspired by these horror movies of the 70s and trying to sort of recreate that aesthetic, that there's this need to overly explain everything.
Yes.
And that makes things not scary.
I always think of Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
Right.
That, you know, we learned Leatherface had a skin condition.
Exactly. And that may have been the jumping off point, honestly, for the paper, was me thinking of that. Like, his skin condition and what else? And the Rob Zombie Halloween does the same thing.
Yes.
Where it spends all this time explaining why Michael Myers is crazy.
Yep.
And here we have the same thing, that he's part of a druid cult who resurrects him. I don't even understand. I
honestly don't either.
I've seen these movies 4 or 5 times each. I have never once even attempted to understand that aspect of the movie.
Right.
I have always just let it wash over me. I'm like, I don't care. Why would I bother trying to comprehend this? Again, 6 is terrible. It introduces Paul Rudd as...
Who is awful, by the
way. Like, my gosh. Hilariously bad at this. I feel bad for him that he has to live with that in the world. And he's playing Tommy, the kid... That's babysat in the first movie, right?
Right, exactly. And he's so fucked up.
See, but again, this is a super fan trying to connect all these dots,
exactly.
You know? And wouldn't it be great if Tommy came back and he had midichlorians?
This is Halloween!
This is druid cursing! I can never forgive Halloween Curse of Michael Myers for what it does, again, to the Jamie character. So now we bring back a beloved character who escaped the previous movies. And, of course, we have to kill her. She gives birth to a baby.
And I didn't realize, by the way, that was Jamie.
Yeah.
That was Daniel Harris's character.
Daniel Harris refused to do it.
Good for
it. Yeah, because she didn't feel like, well, people really like this character. Why would I want to see her brutally murdered? It is the most mean-spirited, I think, of the Halloween movies.
Yeah.
The violence is incredibly graphic.
It is.
Jamie, again, who we knew as a little girl and grew to love, is impaled on some piece of, like, farm equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And then
reaches out to Michael.
Who then impales her further?
Correct. He for a brief second, gives you or gives her the impression that maybe he'll help her.
Right.
And instead just pushes her further into it.
And then, because she's still not dead enough, he turns it on and just rips up her insides while she's...
Right.
Yeah, it's so mean-spirited. And then there's another dude later in the movie who gets electrocuted, so much so that he explodes.
But he's the asshole father, so it's justified over the
top. It's not the same as killing Jamie, but like, really, he explodes?
No, I'm with you.
And the mom, I know, isn't Kim Darby, but I swear is Kim Darby or doing a Kim Darby impression from, like, Better Off Dead.
Right.
I almost had to look it up on IMDb. Like, they really just got a Kim Darby knockoff? There is such a thing?
Maybe the most egregious part of the movie is, spoilers for all these movies. Are we to believe that Loomis went back to face Michael Myers and was killed? Because we hear, like, at the very end, we hear, like, you know, he's like, peace out, I'm going back in. And then he's like, peace out, I'm going in. And then, no, actually, this was his Dumbledore movie. Like, sounds exactly like Dumbledore.
Because he's mostly dead at this point.
He is. He goes
fishing line. Donald, you can see strings on Donald Pleasance because he's about to die. I think he died before it came out, right?
He did. Which makes me think we should get Lucas on this, because he'll digitally put in. Anyway, he goes back in to deal with Michael Myers, and you hear, like, a struggle, and you hear screaming. Mm-hmm. So I can only believe that this is, you know, Loomis finally dying at the hands of, you know, of the great white whale.
Right.
He screams.
Right.
Fade to black.
Right.
In memory of Donald Pleasance. I think that is awful that the last thing we hear is him screaming and dying, and then they add on in memory of Donald Pleasance. Right. That was.
Do you think that was the moment he actually died?
It might have been.
No, again, been. Why,
so maybe then it's appropriate. But
why? Jesus. Why the need to kill Loomis? You know what I mean?
There is no, like, right.
Right. What does that establish? Right.
Exactly. Which will come up again later.
He did die doing what he loved.
Wait. Okay, can we talk about Loomis for a second?
Please.
What do you? Do you like him as a? As a character, like, I feel like I like the idea that he's tied to Michael Myers, whether he likes it or not. He has this connection with Michael Myers, but I feel like they never really do anything with it. His only function is to lead the cops astray. Really, why the cops continue to rely on him. Continue to crack me up throughout the series. But
I like him in the first movie.
I love him in the first
movie. Right, and then there's the theory, right, obviously, that he's Ahab or whatever. But, like, really, his function is just to be the through line in the Halloween series, right? Like, you know, it's a Halloween movie because we got Donald Pleasance back.
Right, exactly. And I just think it's such a waste.
We gave him $100 and a bowl of soup, and he showed up.
I just thought that, you know, maybe they could have done something with that. Because, again, I sort of like the idea that he has this connection with the, not a psychic connection.
Right.
Like...
like Jamie.
Like Jamie, but...
Right.
Then he just, you know, he has this connection with Michael Myers,
He's sort of the Van Helsing of the
of
the Halloween series. But yeah, no, they never do anything with it.
Never.
And it's shitty.
Yes.
So...
really quick, as a Howard Stern fan, I had to laugh at the Barry Sims character, who is the radio DJ. Oh, and apparently they offered that part to Howard Stern.
I can't believe he didn't take it.
Right? So as a Howard Stern fan, it cracked me up. This is, you know, someone writing,
right.
Like, you know, listening to the Howard Stern show and writing what they think is Howard Stern.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway.
So there's, have you ever seen the producer's cut of Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers?
No, I have not.
Apparently it's pretty easy to come by as a bootleg, and it's, you know, it's a much better version, and why won't they release it, and blah, blah, blah. I have not seen it, so I can't say definitively that no, it isn't, but I can't imagine a version of this movie that's significantly better. So the movie doesn't do so hot, and by now the series has sort of run out of steam, so there's a few years where there are no Halloween movies, thank goodness. We are free of Michael Myers once and for all. And then Scream comes out, and Scream is a big hit, and it makes a bunch of money for Miramax and the Weinsteins, who start cranking out some horror movies because that's what the kids want to see. And it just so happens that the writer of Scream, Dimension's Golden Boy, Kevin Williamson's favorite movie of all time, is Halloween. And so he starts pitching this idea of, let's bring back Halloween. So, in 1998, we get Halloween H2O 20 years later. Explain this title to me.
Well,
the H is for Halloween, and the 20 is for the years, right?
Yes.
So, if I were to expand that title, the full title of the movie is Halloween, what? Halloween 20, 20 years later.
Oh. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Halloween, Halloween 20, 20 years later.
Yeah.
A brilliant title.
Right, I was going to say
it. I mean, they couldn't just call it H2O, but I mean, H2O is so cool sounding. It's also water. I had a better memory of Halloween H2O.
Me too. That
was, what's going
absolutely.
On?
Absolutely. But I haven't seen H2O since, I might not have seen it since 98.
Yeah, I don't know if I had either.
So, but yeah, no, I did too. And I will say there are things that to like about H2O.
Okay.
I found at least it's about something.
Okay.
You know, it's about, you know, dealing with trauma and dealing right. with your past and loss. And I actually really liked Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay.
And you're looking at me like I'm a crazy person.
Because but, I always thought I did too.
I still do, but okay. That's about where it ends for me.
For whatever, in 98 I saw it, I'm like, that was surprisingly not horrible. And maybe right. it was because there had been a bunch of bad sequels or my expectations were low. I was like, that actually wasn't so bad. And in years since, I've thought like, yeah, Halloween 2 and H2O are like the good ones, right? Mm-hmm. Man, okay. So it is interesting that Scream 4 came out earlier this year. And I think so much of what Scream 4 was trying to do, Halloween H2O actually did. Okay. In terms of like dealing with this character who's been through this past and coming back and trying to put it behind her, and then it comes back to haunt her, and there's a second generation of kids in the movie that are also being stalked by the murder. Halloween H2O kind of does all that, but it's not very good. I will say that the photography is decent. You know, Steve Miner, obviously trying to sort of imitate John Carpenter, and we get some tracking shots and some Steadicam stuff.
Right. You've mentioned Steve Miner, by the way, on two separate podcasts this month.
That's insane. What was the other one?
He did Day of the Dead, right? The remake.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Oh, that was garbage. That's a horrible movie.
Right.
Wow, from H2O to from Friday the 13th to yeah. H2O to Day of the Dead, the remake. Right. Steve Miner's my favorite director. So, gosh. Again, in theory, I like what it's about. Mm-hmm. I like that it picks up with Laurie Strode again, finally, for the first time, and sort of sees where she's at, and she's having a hard time putting all this behind her.
And by the way, it completely dismisses Halloween 4 through 6.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Which is the way to go.
I mean,
that was smart to try and get back sort of to the original series.
Correct.
But there are a lot of problems with H2O. Number one, the young cast, I don't think, is good or interesting.
No.
I think
Josh Hartnett is almost unlikable.
Yeah. Michelle Williams, who will go on to be nominated for Oscars,
sure.
Shows up. And Adam Bird from The Ice Storm and Jodie Lynn O'Keefe. Some people that Miramax for a little while was trying to push as movie stars.
Yep.
LL Cool J
is
bad in every scene. And it's not his fault, but he's given sort of this comic relief character to play. And it's not a movie that necessarily requires that broad comic relief.
Right.
And then there's Jamie Lee Curtis, again, who I think does her best with the character.
I do.
And I think there are scenes that she has that are good, but more so this time than ever before. I thought she was real. She belonged in a Robert Hiltzik movie at times. Like, there's a scene where she blows up at Josh Hartnett for, like, leaving the campus.
Yes.
Like, not today of all days.
Oh, she F-bombs him?
Right? But it's like,
yeah.
It's so over the top and not particularly well performed. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that she's nervous about her son and everything, but it's a really bad scene. And she has another one kind of later on that, I don't know, I found her character to be...
She wasn't helped by the writing.
Shrill. No, obviously not. And I thought Kevin Williamson had written this movie. He did not.
No.
For years, I believed that. He's just a producer. No, the writing is not great.
In fact, I wrote down one line of dialogue.
Okay.
I believe it's her boyfriend...
Adam Arkin?
He says to her, "What do we do?" And she wrote, "Try to live." Like that.
That's a good line. Come on. That goes in a trailer.
That was amazing. That stuck out for me.
Yeah, the two kids are kind of killed off one after the other in the middle of the movie. And, I mean, there's not a lot of scariness in the movie. And, again, I have to give it credit, I guess, for the ending. Because I remember thinking, like, wow, that's a pretty definitive ending. She lops off Michael Myers' head with an axe.
I completely agree. And, if I may add, they follow that up with the original Halloween theme, which
right.
the geeky side of me got very excited about. Because that's the only time only other time we ever hear it outside of the first movie. I think it's always a different
variation
of it. And it's
the best version is the one where he runs down the hallway at school and we hear that. By the way, Halloween H2O, we don't really need to get into the mask that changes from movie to movie, which is fascinating. It's not that hard of a mask to get, right? But it's always different. And the mask in H2O is pretty bad.
Yep.
But it hasn't gotten horrible yet, because Dimension still has one more Halloween movie in them. H2O is a success, so let's keep this party going with Halloween Resurrection, which I named a year ago. We did a Best and Worst Horror Movies podcast, and I named Halloween Resurrection as what I thought is one of the worst horror movies I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Rewatching it this time, for about the first half hour, I didn't like any part of it. There was nothing good I could say about it, but I did think maybe I was too harsh. Maybe this isn't one of the worst, because I haven't seen it. I saw it in the theater in 2002.
Okay.
Is that when it came out?
Yeah, it came out in 2002.
Opening weekend.
And this was the first time I'd seen it all the way through.
Okay. I saw it opening weekend and I hated it so much, I thought it wasn't finished. I thought they released a movie that wasn't done.
Right.
I really hated it, and so it's always stuck with me as one of the worst. And so seeing it again for the first time almost 10 years later, I was like, maybe this isn't one of the worst. But by the end, I think I was right.
You're absolutely right. And I'm surprised it took you that long. Fuck Halloween Resurrection.
Yes. No, that first 10 minutes is unforgivable, but
it's so unforgivable.
In terms of this isn't one of the worst ever, was technically speaking,
this
seems almost competent. And it's Rick Rosenthal who made part two.
Correct.
But even that goes out the window by the end of the movie.
Why do you have the first 10 minutes? Why do you have the Laurie Strode stuff?
I'm not real sure. Because they wanted to tie it into Halloween H2O, because Jamie Lee Curtis...
You want her on the poster? I mean, is that why?
Yeah, I guess. Agreed to come back for a day's worth of shooting? I don't know. But again, the same way they do with Rachel in 5, the same way they do with Jamie in 6, they ruin everything about Laurie Strode. I mean,
they do, and I'm totally with you on Rachel and Jamie. But holy fuck, with Laurie Strode, and then just, I mean, to have her die in the first 10 minutes of the movie, and it has nothing to do with the rest of the movie,
right? Absolutely
nothing
not.
To do,
right?
It's so fucking aggravating.
Halloween Resurrection, more than any of the Halloween movies, and you see this. Especially once it gets over to Dimension. I think in all of the Dimension Halloween movies, you feel studio notes and producers' hands all over the movies. It's definitely there in Curse of Michael Myers. It's there in H2O. I think LL Cool J is a studio note. I think the kids is like, we got to have these WB stars in the movie and, you know, get the kids, the teenagers in the movie. And Halloween Resurrection, I think maybe it's just them saying, okay, we'll make another Halloween movie, but no more of this Jamie Lee Curtis shit. Finish that and let's go into a different story. One that's hip and new and is about the internet and reality TV and has Tyra Banks and Busta Rhymes.
I don't want to spend a half hour on this because I realize I'm preaching
fuck
to the
this movie.
I realize I'm preaching.
That's
to,
what the F stands
choir.
For, by the way, in our podcast.
Oh, is that what it stands for?
Yeah, no, it stands for fuck.
Oh,
we rarely get to say it. Halloween Resurrection. Fuck this movie.
You don't need to. You can have another Halloween movie not address.
I agree.
The Jamie Lee Curtis stuff. She's in California.
Right. I agree.
Again,
where we left her was fine.
Yes.
But, like we said before, where it's like, oh no, they undo the ending. It turns out that wasn't Michael Myers because he swapped clothes with a paramedic.
Because that's what Michael Myers would do also? What? I'm putting way too much thought into it at this point. But what in the previous Halloween movies would lead you to believe Michael Myers would be like, wait a minute, I'm going to do the old switcheroo.
Right. Even logistically speaking, let's spend a minute on this bullshit. Again, it's like one of these, it's the biggest, it's the worst kind of switch where it's like, oh, really? The thing that I thought I saw isn't, you're rewriting history in this horrible way.
Yep.
Logistically speaking, if it is a paramedic at the end of H2O, none of that makes sense. Why is he reaching out to Laurie Strode before she kills him? Why doesn't he speak?
Oh, they explain all that.
They do?
Michael Myers, damaged his larynx
right.
Something. And I think he's reaching out to her because he's trying to communicate with her.
Oh,
Please, Patrick, pay attention.
I'm sorry, Resurrection. I didn't give you a fair shake. But also, so Michael Myers puts on the paramedic's clothes and then is wandering around the crime scene.
Yeah, he's at the scene.
As a paramedic,
yep.
Carrying his giant fucking knife. At no point is he like, I should put this down. He had the fucking presence of mind to switch clothes with the paramedic, but he's not like, but I maybe shouldn't carry the knife because that is suspicious. He still carries it around with him just so we could see the flashbacks and say, oh, there he is. That's Michael Myers. He's the one with the knife.
Do you care if I go?
No, it's fine.
I'm just going to take off.
So they kill Laurie Strode for no good reason.
Yes.
And now at any point when you're watching Halloween, in the back of your mind, you know that 20 years from now, she's going to have crazy long hair. She's going to booby trap the roof of her mental asylum.
Home Alone style.
Right? She puts micro machines all around. And then Michael Myers stabs her and drops her off the roof.
Not before she kisses him and says, I'll see you in hell.
Horrible. Every single thing about it is the worst. But wait! Halloween Resurrection can only get worse from there. There was one pleasant surprise about Halloween Resurrection that I did not remember from 2002. Do you know what it is?
That Starbuck.
Yes!
Is in it. Katie Sackhoff, right. Yes.
Looking bad and giving a terrible performance, but so what? Because Katie Sackhoff is in this movie.
Totally agree.
So, at least I'll enjoy part of it.
Yes.
Just watching the opening credits was fucking fascinating because it took me back to, like, late 90s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. when Miramax really was fucking supreme. And there's a credit, special, like, guest appearance or whatever by Sean Patrick Thomas, I think is his name.
Okay.
Otherwise known as, like, the black guy from Save the Last Dance.
Okay.
And he's in Cruel Intentions and he's in Can't Hardly Wait. You know, they were trying to create this whole group of teen stars and it's just like, what? He gets the special credit? He's the guy that we're like, oh, there are stars in this movie. The dude from Save the Last Dance is in this movie. Playing a guy who cares about food.
He loves food.
And so when he fights with Michael Myers, he's like, oh, you need protein in your diet. He's always talking about how people need the protein in their diets because he's the guy that likes food. Yep. And then there's another girl who is a psychology student. And sure. You know that because she's always saying things like Jungian. And there was another horrible example. I don't remember what it was. It was even more embarrassing than when she calls something Jungian. But I don't remember what it was. She's constantly speaking in grad student speak.
As you said earlier, writers.
Everything about this movie seems like, you know, the Weinstein boys were like, yeah, the kids are into the fucking internet. Put the internet in there. And reality TV, that's a thing. Put that in there. Get that broad from the modeling, the Tyra Banks. Put her, see if she's a kids like rap.
How about a Pulp Fiction reference?
You got, oh, Jesus. And then it doesn't even have confidence in you to get the Pulp Fiction reference.
They have to explain it to you. Yeah.
Do you think people know we're from Pulp Fiction? Well, yeah, but now we for sure do. And then the whole end of the movie is just, it just turns into Scream with this group of teenagers at a party watching a monitor, like, reacting. Don't go in there. Look behind you. And his name's Deckard, because the writer saw Blade Runner. Come on, man. It is so terrible. And even the stuff about, like, the internet and reality TV, it came out in 2002. It still feels like 10 years too late. It really does. It just feels, again, like an old man's approximation of, like, I don't know, kids like this shit, right?
Right.
Put that in your horror movie. In what universe is this a Halloween movie? Like, take Michael Myers out of it. Take that first 10 minutes with Laurie Strode out. Do you feel like maybe this was a different... Well, I guess not, because there are references to, like, this is the Myers house, that's Judith's room, right? Yeah. But I just feel like this was a screenplay to a different movie that someone grafted on
Halloween. It absolutely could have been.
Yeah.
It totally could have been. It's just, oh my god, it's the biggest piece of shit. And then I don't even understand his... Is he upset that people are in his house? Like, why is he?
What is he ever after? Why does he want to kill everyone?
Family. He's always after family, and he took care of that the first 10 minutes. So now I feel like he gets home and he's tired, and he's like,
"Who are these people filming a show in my house? Right. Who is this rapper?
Where are the permits?
Ninja kicking me in the face?" Like, let's say if you're watching the first Halloween movie. And it's great, and it's a classic, and you're like, this is one of the best horror movies ever made. I'll bet that 24 years from now, somebody's going to make a sequel to this in which a rapper karate fights Michael Myers.
That rapper, by the way, Busta Rhymes, we're speaking of.
Michael Myers ain't no footnote.
I love that he spends half the movie explaining what he's doing. Like, he is watching a kung fu movie. I can't remember who the martial artist is that he's watching. But, you know, it's not Sonny Chiba. But right. For the purposes of the story, we'll say it's Sonny Chiba. So, you know, he's getting all into it. Then there's a knock on his door. And I wish I'd written down the exact dialogue. But he's like, now I have to get the door because someone is distracting me from watching Sonny Chiba kick some ass. I'm like, you don't need to explain that.
Now I'm walking over here to get a glass of water. I haven't had anything to drink since 3 o'clock. Now I'm drinking the water. I can't hear what you're saying because I'm narrating what the fuck I'm doing.
Right, I mean, oh.
Isn't there, like, random narration, too, at the end of the movie? Doesn't the final girl, like, all of a sudden narrate something?
Maybe. I if she did,
she, by the way, is very bad in the movie. Very Bianca something-something. And she has a career. She's on a CBS sitcom. She was just in 30 minutes or less. She took her top off in that movie. So if you ever want to see the girl from Halloween Resurrection take her top off a few years down the road, see 30 minutes or less.
We'll do that now.
I mean, it's one of these movies where, like, there almost aren't words to describe how bad it is.
No.
And it's not bad in a way that is fun or entertaining.
No, it really pissed me off. Yeah. Like, more so, I didn't get angry or upset really at any of the sequels. I mean, I roll my eyes and, well, I mean, I get bummed out again, them killing off certain characters, but yeah. This one really just pissed me
Jamie
off.
The Jamie one sits badly with me because it's so mean-spirited. It's almost like after Danielle Harris turned it down, they were like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do.
It is. And I'm admitting I'm an idiot. Again, I didn't realize that was her character till after the fact. So, it aggravates me after the fact. So I'm sure had I known it was her character, that would piss me off even more. But
hey, here's a question about Halloween Resurrection. So Michael Myers switches clothes with the paramedic and damages his larynx. I really did miss that. I'm sorry. Yeah. He has given away his mask now, ostensibly, to the paramedic.
Oh, yeah.
Where does he get a new one?
Well, you can. Well, at least in 1978, you could purchase them. That's a good question. Well, people are
aware. He has an endless supply of Michael Myers masks.
True. Think. And people, and they did create a world where people are aware of who Michael Myers
right.
is.
Oh, shit. We didn't talk about that. We got to go all the way back to Halloween 2. To talk about the fucking scene. No, we have to. Because there is something that's so hilariously terrible in Halloween 2. So much in the movie, they have a guy at the hospital. Is it Halloween 2? Which one is it? Where they're like, they don't know if it's Michael Myers or not. It's in the first couple minutes of the movie. Some dude is out, like...
No, Michael Myers. That is not Halloween 2. That is...
Which one is it? It's so good. It's not 2?
No.
Is
no,
it 5? Wait,
the guy who's like dressed like John Wayne Gacy in the
No. That's Resurrection.
Yeah, that is Resurrection.
No. Dude in the middle of the street, like dressed up as Michael Myers.
It is 2.
Cop car straight up just fucking drives right into him, then explodes.
Yes. Okay, I'm glad.
The craziest thing ever.
It is, and this is, and again, that's I can spend a lot of time on this. The cops listening to Loomis. Loomis is like, there he is, that's him. They run into the Michael Myers. the fake Michael Myers. He explodes, and Loomis is like, my bad, guys. I'm so sorry. Like, don't worry about it, doctor. Where should we go now? What should we do now? Like, they continue to follow him.
Because now they're trying to figure out for the rest of the movie, like, did we get him? Was that him?
We have to wait for his dental records. It's, yes. I can't believe we let that go.
It's so insane, where they're just like, there he is. Just drive the car into him, and
it's so crazy.
It belongs in like a Naked Gun movie.
It does.
It's so over the top. Anyway, I just when I saw that scene, I was like, oh, we have to talk about that on the podcast. And then we almost forgot. And I would hate if we left something out about this shitty ass franchise.
Agreed.
What is your favorite, since it's obviously, I don't think Halloween. Going into this, by the way, I had a theory that like Halloween had the best track record. Because I thought 2 was pretty good, I knew I liked 4, and I thought H2O was pretty good.
Right.
Wrong.
Right, absolutely.
1 and 4, and that's it, everyone. And 3, kind of. I actually kind of like 3.
Yeah, I agree.
So what would you say is the best, which franchise has the best track record?
Oh my goodness.
We're just going to be doing this again a year from now, so.
Off the top of my head, maybe Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. Which ones are good in the Elm Street series?
I love the first one.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of the third one. I recognize it's not great, but if you go back to the F This Movie archives and read movies we're thankful for.
That's right.
That movie is very important to me.
I have a theory that Nightmare on Elm Street 3 has a lot in common with Halloween 2.
I can't wait to have it ruined for me next year.
In that it's where things really start to go.
And that could be.
And it sets up all the bad habits that the series has, like how Freddy makes all the wisecracks, and how every character has this one defining characteristic.
Right. Which is probably what I responded to when I was way too young to see. Right. I might have been.
She's a drug addict, so he's going to shoot her up full of needles.
Right.
He likes D&D, so he's going to be a wizard. And then,
all right, I'll take it back. It's a horrible series.
No, it's not, but I just mean...
No, I know.
Yeah.
New Nightmare?
Yeah, that one's...
I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
That's three. I mean, Friday the 13th doesn't have...
It doesn't have a good movie, right?
Yeah.
What about Saw?
Yeah.
Again, Saw, I think, is more like Friday the 13th in that, like, it's pretty consistent.
Yes.
It's never great.
No. But I would say, unlike Friday the 13th, at least Saw tries to do something in that series. Like, I mean, in a lot of ways, yes, it is repeating itself, but at the same time, it's got crazy continuity. I can't even listen to the Saw podcast.
Definitely.
How about you?
I don't know. I mean, in theory, it would be Nightmare on Elm Street, but that's again, those movies are pretty terrible, like, and super repetitive and not very good, but, I don't know. It's definitely not Halloween, so thanks for opening my eyes to that.
Yeah.
And Michael Myers is super uninteresting, by the way.
But he's incredibly uninteresting, but...
Jason Voorhees is more interesting than Michael Myers. At least Jason has crazy inventive ways of killing people. Michael Myers stabs them.
And honestly, I think...
Sometimes he puts his thumb in their heads.
But honestly, I think there's something to that, because you're absolutely right. I had the same thought. Like, why is it I find Jason more interesting when really he's the same. He's a mute killing machine.
And they sort of acknowledge that he's a zombie.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't with Michael Myers.
But I'm oddly able, and I'm so glad of this, I can divorce the sequels from the original.
As can I.
I just finished Halloween Resurrection a couple nights ago, and last night my wife and I put our daughter to bed, put on AMC, and Halloween was on, and I watched it and enjoyed the shit out of it again. So, I'm very happy about that. I don't watch it and think like, oh, Laurie's going to. I mean, like you mentioned earlier.
Right.
I can't separate them.
I don't even necessarily watch the first one thinking that, like, they're brother and sister.
No, I don't either. I don't think I do.
Yeah.
I mean, in a perfect world, it is definitely one franchise, and if I could snap my fingers and get rid of all the sequels, that would be it, because, like, what a great way to if it had just ended with Loomis looking over and he's gone and that's it. No more Michael Myers stories ever.
Standalone, perfect movie.
Right. Then, oh God, that would be wonderful. But
there are very few of those in the horror world, because horror falls victim to sequelization more than almost anything.
Absolutely.
Even like The Thing, which is, we've talked before, but that's like, to me, that's a better I like that John Carpenter movie better than Halloween.
I don't want to argue with
that. Even that movie's getting fucked up now because they're remaking it, or they have a prequel that's already out and it's dead, but it exists, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
just knowing that it exists, it's like, oh, they couldn't have left that alone.
Right, absolutely. But, I mean, horror fans were, I mean, I think Roger Ebert said the genre is the star.
Right.
And we just, you know, I'm to blame too. I will go see, you know, if they release another Halloween movie, I will go see it. But,
right. Yeah, and they did, by the way.
Yeah.
They remade it.
Yes,
they did. And then they made a sequel to that.
Yes,
and they're supposedly still making a third one.
They are.
But,
which will not... And I read that Tom Atkins is rumored to be in it. It's not a remake of
Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Correct, but Tom Atkins will.
But again, that's the direction that they should go, I think.
Like the Season of the Witch direction?
Yeah. Or even, if they're going to remake a Halloween, that's the one to remake, honestly.
Yeah.
If
you guys haven't seen the documentary that Patrick referenced earlier,
what is it? Halloween 20 Years of Terror, it's called, or 25 Years of 25 Terror?
25 Years of Terror.
Okay.
There's
because actually, 20 years would be H2O,
correct.
20 Years of Terror.
Right.
Got it.
There's actually some interesting stuff on there where they spend a little bit of time with the Halloween fans at like a convention.
With the Michael Myers tattoos.
Right. And I found that fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean,
because what is it about this series that appeals to them?
Right.
Again, I understand it with the first Halloween, but like, And what is appealing about Michael Myers as a character, except maybe you like, you think his mask is cool, you
right.
know?
Right.
That's a good documentary. I like it.
No, I do too.
I like catching up with all the people. And,
yes.
I like,
and they seem to be pretty honest.
Yeah, because I like the girl that played Rachel talking about how her and the girl that plays the girl that steals her boyfriend, like they kind of didn't get along in real life.
Yep.
That all sort of played out for real. I don't know. Thanks for ruining Halloween, the holiday, and the movie series. Mike, I blame you.
Dude, you've ruined plenty for me. This is payback.
And thanks to everybody for sticking with us for Scary Movie Month. It was super fun and productive. And apparently you should all watch an episode of Doctor Who. So that's good.
Yes, Blink. Season 3, people. It's on Netflix and you don't need to know a lot about Doctor Who.
We will now return to F This Movie Proper, non-scary movie edition. And what else? Email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Mike, you want to take us out?
Michael Myers isn't a sound bite! That's all the speech I remember.